Now, I know deer season is right here on top of us, but guys, I'm telling you, turkey season isn't too far away. Before you know it, turkey season is going to be right here on top of us, and you're going to be scrounging, looking for stuff. Hey, you ain't got to look far. Go to Instagram, go to Facebook, Bloodline Custom Calls. That's where you want to go. Those guys have some of the best slate calls you're going to hear for hunting turkeys. I'm telling you, hands down, good stuff. And you know what else they've got right now that you can use? Some good merchandise. Man, two of the coolest looking camouflage hats that I've ever seen. And then they've got a new hoodie coming out that, hey guys, wink, wink, nod, nod, I'd like to get one. Oh my goodness, those new hoodies they've got are, they're good looking, okay? Just going to say that. Bloodline Custom Calls. Go check them out. Instagram, Facebook. I'm telling you, man, when it comes down to slate calls, these are some of the best sounding calls I've heard. Bloodline Custom Calls right here. Ruston, Louisiana, North Louisiana company. You know, we got to support local. Give them a shot. You won't be disappointed, I promise you. This week with the Wise Eye, one thing we're going to talk about is the cell phone reception. My goodness gracious, this thing will pick up on Mars, okay? I was raised in Bayou de Loutre. That's when you see the sign on the highway coming into Farmerville on Highway 2. And when you're going toward Marion from Farmerville on Highway 33, you'll see Bayou de Loutre. Locals call it the Looter. The Looter has no cell phone service. You might as well be on Mars as down in them bottoms. Well, I put the Wise Eye on a Cowoke Oaken tree down there this week, and man, it is popping off some great footage, some good pictures. I'll go down there pretty soon. I'll make a kill, and Wise Eye helped me do it. Go check them out, WiseEyeTechnologies.com, Amazon, K&M Coffee, Corks and Camo, and maybe a couple other local stores around here somewhere you can find. But I'm telling you guys, you're going to love this camera. It's really, really impressive. Well, we missed last week, and I'm sorry about that. Things got a little hectic, a little busy, but we got a good one for you right now. Lee Comer, Black Lake, Louisiana, which is Natchitoches Parish, right out there around Campy. Lee killed a deer this past weekend that is impressive. It's a stud. So far in 2022, it's the biggest Louisiana deer I've seen this hunting season. You're going to love this story. You're going to love this man. It's great. Good stuff. Hope you like it. Now listen, I'm going to preface it and tell you this. My recorder kind of skipped a little, so don't think it's bad. You didn't miss much. You may have missed a word, but you'll hear it. It skipped once or twice. So be patient with me. Enjoy Mr. Lee's story. Trust me, it's a good one. Well, this is the second time I've gotten to talk with Mr. Lee. The first one didn't quite take. We'd have had it for you. Probably, what was it, Mr. Lee? About Monday night. I'd have had it because we talked Sunday night, didn't we?
Yes, sir. Sure did.
Well, now, what I want you to do, Mr. Lee, you've got an amazing deer. You killed a great deer this past weekend.
Yes, so, I appreciate it.
It's one of those that's, you know, they say once in a lifetime. And I honestly believe that deer that you got is going to be once in a lifetime. So tell us where you're from and tell us how you grew up hunting.
I grew up on a Black Lake down here in Natchitoches Parish, Louisiana. Raised on a lake, used to guide, had a guide service. We owned an old weeds camp and actually had it since 1970 and until we shut it down, and which is our home place down there. Hunted, we was raised with back when we was running deer dogs and stuff, and kind of a lot of that faded out when everybody went to leasing land, and if you had a place to hunt, you know, you hunted it up until you just pretty much was forced into leasing land. And I work construction. I worked for Brown & Root for a long time and jumped around, but I stayed gone a lot. But when I try to schedule my days off with Thanksgiving and Christmas, I've always come back to my roots and hunted during deer season. And when the white perch was spawning in April and in February, March and April, I got my jig pole out and was catching them. Of course, they're catching them under that Black Lake Bridge up right now. They always do this time of the year, but I prefer to hunt this time of the year, especially when it's cold. And we're going to
I believe you're going to be right about that.
And the reason why I say that is when you see the cypress balls in the lake, the limbs hanging in the water, and they're loaded down with cypress balls, that's usually when you're going to have some ice and stuff like that. And we're fortunate enough to start getting some of that cool weather.
Now, is this that I've never heard the cypress ball one. Now, my great uncle, now Uncle Zane, would tell you that if you take a persimmon seed and cut it in half, you know, you could either see a fork, a spoon, or a knife. Maybe not a fork, but you'd see a spoon or a knife.
Yes, sir.
And if it was a spoon, you're going to have a big snow. And if it was a knife, then the cold was going to cut you to the bone. That's what he'd say.
But I was just fortunate enough to be raised on this lake, blessed, me and my brother, and we've had a good life.
Now, running those deer dogs, wasn't that some good times? I mean, I got in on the tail end of that. I'm 44, and we used to run deer dogs back when I was a real little boy. And I can remember that was just a community-involved activity.
Yes, sir. You met everybody, met at one place in the morning, and usually somebody's wife, some of the older folks, they would have some cathead biscuits and tomato gravy and stuff, and everybody would eat there and drink coffee until it was time to. Getting pretty close to daylight, and then we would leave out and line these roads up, and high lines and pipelines, and run them dogs.
But we
mostly hunted with shotguns. We didn't hunt with rifles back then.
That's right, we did. And then some of the rifles, if you guys did have rifles, they had those mounts that you could look underneath them, see your sights, and had a low power scope too.
Well, a lot of the guys back then, their eyes were still good, so they used them little short barrel 308 carbines or 30-06s, you know, that they can be easy to maneuver around, you know, with them deer dogs.
Yeah, that was good. Now, did y'all kill big deer like this back in those days around that area?
Yes, sir. We've always down here on Black Lake, whether it would be over on the Placid Oil side or around the Mammy Trail or over here, we've had. You know, years ago, if you can remember it, they closed the season for like, I want to say 5 years when they brought them Wisconsin mule deer in here, them old blue deer.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, we still have some of that offspring.
Oh, yeah. So now to give everybody an idea where you're at, you're Natchitoches Parish, which is going to be, what would you say, west central Louisiana? Is that what you'd call that?
Yes, it kind of. Not in the middle of the state, but north of Alexandria and south of Shreveport.
Right.
We'd take 45 minutes to an hour drive either way.
Right.
In area two.
Area two. That's a good area. Now, a long time as far as keeping up with big deer. I've scored deer, Mr. Lee, for Buckmasters since 2012. And the Red River Delta, it isn't too far off at Mississippi River Delta as far as some of the deer that it'll produce.
Right. And right here, on Black Lake, we're not 7 miles from Campy, give or take. And then they got the Red River right there, right behind the paper mill in Campy, Louisiana. Matter of fact, the old city bank down there, that old draw is Red River. There's a lot of big deer come off of that river.
I worked for a contracting group a couple years ago, and we did some work out there at IP mill over in Campy.
Yes, and, international paper.
Yeah. And that's it. I'm telling you, man, on the ride down there, I'm looking at the water. I mean, y'all got all kind of little bayous and everything going down through there. And I'm like, man, this is a place to be if you want to hunt and fish.
Yes, sir, it is. Like I say, the Lord's blessed me and my brother to be raised in a scenario like we have been.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, that's a beautiful area. I know, like I said before, riding through there, you know, I'm coming from North Louisiana, and you just cross river bridges, and you'll see these bayous with, you know, with some good grass and good structure, and you're like, my goodness gracious, I bet there's a bass or two out there.
Oh yeah, I've caught my share of them.
Now, let's talk about this your management. You guys on your lease, you know. Big deer just don't come by chance. You guys, you do a lot of work to get deer like that, right?
Yes, and we do a lot of food plots. And like I say, I have a lease called the Bayou Road Hunting Club, and it's in there behind that Lakeview High School, right off of Highway 9 out of Kempton. And I've had it for 11 years. And my friend that's president of the lease that I killed a deer on, Friends and Family Hunting Club, Freddie Ayers, me and him have the same lease rules. Just a 3-point or better on one side. And you don't shoot a doe unless it's over 100 pounds. And when them deer start chasing one another, we just quit shooting does altogether. A lot of times we won't shoot one anyway. We'll let the kids and grandbabies shoot a one deer and youth hunt and kind of manage them out of the way, you know, to take care of the kids and grandbabies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm kind of like you. You know, if I'm going to shoot a doe, I don't mind shooting one early season. Right. But when they go to moving around chasing each other, I'm like, man, that's a live decoy. I'm going to leave her out there.
Yes, especially your old big does, and they produce and they bring in your bucks, and it's living proof that the deer that I've killed back there at like I say, this one particular stand is a third stand, and I may be jumping ahead of myself, but it's the third stand that I've had on this particular two lanes, and I've probably killed 25 bucks over the years and out of that stand. I've been using that horse and heifer strawberry flavored, and it's got a lot of protein in it, and they got some stuff called strawberry flavored deer brand or buck wild. My brother, he's been getting it by the pallets from up at O'Neill's, and it's working real good. It's got a lot of protein in to feed these deer.
Hmm.
And the last year and the year before last, the strawberry flavored deer brand, I call it buck wild, but anyways, it had brought a lot of deer in the year before last on Thanksgiving day. I killed a big 8-point, and then on Christmas morning in the same spot using the same stuff, I killed another big 8-point.
Mm.
But it's and I'm not saying that stand to me, all my life has been a buck stand. It's just some good bucks back there.
You know, it's ironic you say that. I've got a stand. Let me ask you about your theory on this. Do you think certain stands are like, I've got one stand I swear by in the morning, but if you go there in the evening, you might not even see a deer. But in the morning, you're going to see movement. It's going to happen. Do you think, and like you just said, that deer, that stand produces good bucks. You think stuff like that is, you know, real, or you think I may just be thinking that?
No, sir, you are exactly right. And the reason why I'm saying this is I've got to where I don't want to hunt it in the evening, because the last 10 or 15 I've killed back there over the years has all been in the morning. And they've all been at daylight or by 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them is between 7 and 7:30. And last year I let a buck go 3 Saturdays in a row at 7:15 in the same trail that I'm seeing all these other bucks in. But years ago, growing up, I couldn't kill none in the morning. I would kill them in the evening all between 4:30 and 5:15. They change patterns. But you're right. There's certain stands that you're going to kill them in the morning, and there's certain ones that you want to go to in the evening.
You know, when I talked to you, I told you I was taking my daughter hunting. And so she and I climbed up in that stand, and I don't have any corn or anything out like that. The acorns are falling so good down in that creek bottom. I told her, I said, we're just going to hunt it natural. And about 5 o'clock, I realized I had made a grave mistake, because that stand's hot as a firecracker in the morning. And in the evening time, you like I said, you might not even see a deer. Ed, I wanted to get her on something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was the same way. I carried my little grandbaby. I guess it was that Saturday evening, I want to say, before I killed that deer Sunday morning, I had him in the stand. Now I'm thinking, oh, my God, wouldn't this have been a great deal if he would have been in this stand with me? And we could have probably ended up on the face of the Wildlife and Fishery magazine for the hunting pamphlet next year, you know?
Mm-hmm. I always liked that. I'm like you. That's always been a goal, is to get on the cover of that pamphlet. That's a big deal. I like that.
I thought about that the other day. I said, that would be sweet.
Sure would. It sure would. Now, let me ask you something. You got good thought processes towards your management. Y'all shoot does. Do you have a particular doe that you'd want to take?
Yeah, you want them to be over 100 pounds. You don't want them, your big mature ones that you keep seeing over and over. And we don't take, like last week when I seen them 11 deer, most of them was a doe with a little one, or a half grown with a little one, or a button buck with a half grown doe. And I just, you know, I don't do stuff like that. And that's the way we manage them, you know, just, and a lot of us work construction, and we know what to take and not to take, and it helps out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I saw a discussion on Facebook the other day that we're talking about which does to take and this and that. And you know, everybody's kind of got their own theory on that, but I thought about that. I wanted to ask you, get your opinion on it, see what you thought.
And these guys are arguing with me that, and I'm telling them, we got more bucks on cameras and we got does, and they'll turn around and tell me we got more does and we got bucks.
Hmm.
And I said, well, the camera don't lie.
Right.
But they say, well, we got eight or nine here at this span, eight or nine. I said, could be the same does. You never know. But I feel like we have more bucks than we got does, the ratio.
Right, right. So now let's move into your deer that you were able to take home the other day. That deer right there, cuz, that's a... Ooh wee! When I looked at it, I knew it was a special animal, and it come up. What you got? You guys got 182 1/8, and so did Simmons, didn't you?
Yes, sir. We got the exact same score that Sam Bedgood from Fabio, Louisiana. He's hunting them big buck management leases and stuff, and he knew what he was doing. He wrote it all down for me, and I just kept that piece of paper in my hand as that guy Simmons was doing, pulling his string and tape, and after he wrote down the first three, I realized that this guy, that we're going to be close. And when he said 182 1/8, I couldn't believe it. I showed him that piece of paper that I had in my hand. He said, "Ever who done that? Knew what they was doing." I said, "You know what you was doing too, son."
That's good. That always makes you feel better when you. It makes you feel a lot better when you got two scores that are pretty close to each other, if not dead on. Y'all watch that deer for a little bit. Didn't y'all pretty well grow this one?
Yes, sir, we sure have. Like I say, the last 3 years on camera, he's been an 8-point. And when he started out, he was puny looking. He looked like a doe with horns. Freddie Ayers had several chances to shoot it and passed up on it because of that. And he just I guess with all the food plots and stuff that we've been putting out, you know, these deer are getting healthier and healthier. And of course, you know, right now they'll leave stuff alone just to eat some acorns.
You're right. I think they're kind of starting to slow down a little bit though. I think the acorns about to play out. So you have how long y'all been watching this animal?
Some other lease members been watching him longer than I have, and he just kind of slipped up. He moved in there close to where I was, but I hadn't, out of all the bucks I got on camera this year, I didn't have him. But two stands down from me, both of those guys had him, and one of them had him the night before I killed him.
Mm.
And I've got a good picture of that, where he walked right by that guy's feeder, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Man, I tell you, I bet the air was let out of him when he heard the news.
Yes, sir. I hadn't heard from him, but I'll run across him someday.
Yeah. And that's the thing about a deer like this is it'll always bring people together that'll share. You know, first off, if somebody's got pictures of the animal for a while, they're going to want to put hands on it. They're going to want to look at him, and they're going to want to talk to you, and they'll share your pictures. And shoot, man, I've known guys that didn't know each other from Adam. And one of them killed a good deer, and other than had pictures of him. Next thing you know, now they hunting friends. They talk all the time, and it's weird how these big deer like that get around. They'll bring people together over time. Of course, I have seen the case where it's the other way around, where the folks get kind of fuzzed up and angry. But
right,
that's
right.
Few and far between.
Right, right.
So now while we got you, while we're sitting here talking about the deer, let's go on transition. Let's transition to the hunt.
Okay.
I've heard the story. And folks, let me tell you, I've said it for years, when it's your time to kill a deer, it's just your time. And this is just one more example of being fortunate and being in the right place at the right time. So let us have it, Mr. Lee. Give us the lowdown on it.
Yes, sir. So we get up at the camp and get the fire going there Sunday morning, bright and early, and we all kind of leave out around 6. And I had a little drive down the road about half a mile to where my where I always parked my truck. And I had a young man from Eunice, Louisiana, that his daddy brought him up to hunt my big lease. And I decided to take him back with me and to make this hunt, and dropped him off at the first stand on my lease across the road from my big lease, and went back and got in my stand. By the time I got back there, it was about 6:10 or 6:15. It's rocking on about 30 degrees Sunday morning. And around 7:15, I heard a deer grunt, which was this big Illinois buck that I killed. And that deer was grunting. And there was another deer started grunting about 50 yards down my lane, close to my feeder down there. And I said, well, this is going to get interesting. I said, I had a grunt caller in my chair, and actually just started the grunting business probably 5 years back. Done good. I've grunted a couple up that I've killed. And at 7:30, this deer come out looking to the left, away from me, looking for the other deer that was grunting at it. Well, I already had my gun in position, because I like to keep it out that one window. And that's my favorite shooting lane. And I raised up and took probably one of the best shots that you could ever want to shoot a deer, and the gun snapped. And I'm thinking, this ain't going to be good. So the deer turned and looked straight at me. And I'm thinking, oh, what a buck. I said, that's that buck that everybody's been talking about. So without me moving the gun or moving my head or anything, I pulled the A-bolt back on that Remington 270, and I caught that bullet before it fell to the floor, caught it in my jacket, and let it hit my chair, and I just shoved it under my leg and put another bullet in. It's just as quiet, just like nothing's ever happened. I never got excited, and got to pick the gun up with the deer looking at me and get a good shot. And I knew it was a good shot when I could see it through the scope when he jumped up. When he jumped up, and they just like he was to hit a cow with a cattle prong, and he done his legs just like you'd see on them hunting shows, and he went straight ahead. You know, most of the time when you shoot a buck and he turns and go back the way he come, and you missed him. But I knew I'd made a good shot and was confident in that.
Good Lance. I can't imagine something like that happened with a 182-inch deer standing there looking at you.
I couldn't either. And so I sat there a minute and trying to gather my thoughts together, thinking how lucky I was to get another shot or get another chance. And I'm thinking, you know, if I said I never would get another deer mounting because of the ones that I've killed over the years, and some good ones. And just sitting there thinking, and I sent a couple of text messages out to my brother and to brother Chris Comer and Freddie Ayers, the one that's over that Friends and Family Hunting Club that I'm joining, that actually the deer come off of, because he manages just like I do. And kind of gather my thoughts up. I said, well, they sent me a text message, said, don't rush the deer. You know, it's cold. And of course, I knew better. I done said that if I shot something big, I wasn't going to rush it. I'd go back to camp, you know, and cook something. And so I got to thinking about how many years I'd been hunting back there in that same spot. And back before there was four-wheelers and three-wheelers, and I used to have to – I got a son and a daughter, and thinking about how I used to tote one of them in one hand. They'd throw their little eggs around me, and I'd have a 5-gallon bucket of corn in the other hand. And we'd have to stop two or three times along the way. And then I got down out of that stand, started walking back to my truck. I had about a 500-yard walk and had to get the young man out of the other stand and kind of interrupt his hunt, which I hated to do. I started crying when I got out of that stand, and I cried the whole way, 500 yards out in woods. Cried like a baby.
I bet you did. I mean, that's an emotional moment. You know, you've got all those thoughts running through your mind, and you know what you've been able to accomplish. So I can't fault you a bit, sir. I cannot fault you a bit.
Yes, there was a lot of crying, a lot of laughter going on that day. And so we waited. I went back to the camp and I had a bunch of Kanaka sausage, and there was about 20 people already gathered around. Everybody on all the leashes are pretty much butts. And so we didn't want to crowd the deer. So at 9:15, we left the camp. So we gave him about an hour and 30 minutes or 45 minutes to bleed down. And so me and my brother Freddie went back there, and the first thing we found was shot. He asked me where I shot him at. Of course, they were joking. They said, the last time you shot a mustard buck, it wasn't nothing but a 4-point. I said, y'all come on now. I said, I have shot a mini buck back here. That ain't none of them been a 4-point. Yeah, we hear you. He said, you sure you hit him? I said, just go down here while I show you where I shot him at. Well, there was a big old chunk of lungs. I'm talking about it blew it out just like you stuck an arrow through him. And they said, yeah, you got a good hit on him. So we went to track him. And it started, blood started getting thicker and thicker, a lot more blood, you know. And actually, my brother was in the lead. I had carried a shotgun with me in case something was to happen, the deer was to jump up. But actually, Freddie was the first one to put his eyes on it. And he went to hollering, and I went to crying. And here we go. The show was on. But we had to get that big rascal out of there. He actually run, Freddie said, and, you know, by his phone, he said he went 300 yards. Me, it didn't seem like he went but 100 yards. But either way, 100 yards to drag a deer through the woods is a long ways. That big.
Yeah, that deer, tell everybody how much he weighed. The score is one thing. The pound is another.
Right. That deer weighed around 280. And I've killed one time, that 7-point with that 20 and 3/4 inch spread, a big bladed horn buck. He weighed about 300, and the 12-point my brother killed weighed 260. We got a guy that I would say the best hunter here on Black Lake. It's two brothers that we was raised with, and they commercial fished for years and stuff. Their daddy was commercial fishing, but Jerry Land Brown, he told me when I got to the store with him, he said, son, he said, that's going to be the biggest buck that's ever come off of Black Lake or out of Natchitoches Parish. Unless somebody does better years to come. He said, because I ain't never. And he's killed 14 points, and he's killed deer in the weighing 260 or 265. And he said, I've never seen nothing like this in my life. And we actually shut traffic down. There was probably 50 or 75 people from South Louisiana, and everybody stopped taking pictures and stuff. But it's just, you know, it's soaking in now because I'm having people to tell me just how big that deer is as far as the state record and stuff in a certain class, you know.
Yeah, he'll be up in the top 10, I believe. I don't know what the deductions are going to come out to be, but he looks pretty symmetrical. He's impressive, cuz I mean, he is something to see. So you said Illinois buck. Tell everybody why you said Illinois buck.
Well, he looks just like something you would see on one of them hunting shows, like you would see come out of Illinois. And as a matter of fact, my buddy Bill Muckow, he lives up in Illinois. He used to work construction with me. He took a job as a plant operator, and he sent me a picture of a big Illinois buck last week that's on his farm that he's after. And I'm thinking, when I sent him that picture, I said, I got your Illinois buck going to be hanging on the wall down in the state of Louisiana.
That's right. That's right. So
you just don't see them like that.
You don't. No, I've got the measurements that you sent me the other day. I'm gonna read them off to some of the on here. Yes, the inside spread, 21 4/8 inch. That's a lot of space between main beams. 21 4/8 inches. Now this is something else that's impressive. People ask me all the time, they say, what's the one characteristic a deer's got to have if it's going to score well? I say, it's got to have long main beams. Long main beams, that's two long measurements. Plus, that's a lot of real estate for multiple points to grow. This deer had the right main beam was 27 inches. That is huge. The left main beam was 25 5/8. Again, massive. The deer had four scorable points that were over 10 inches, with the longest one being 11 6/8. The G1, which is a brow tine, when you see the picture, you're going to want to know how long the brow tines were, One brow tine was 9 inches. The other one was 7 5/8. That's usually your brow tines are going to be shorter, and they're just as long or longer than any other point on there. Circumference, the bases. This deer had bases over 5 inches. The C2 and C3s were over 4 inches on both sides, and the C4 was exactly 4 inches. So this deer never had a mass measurement under 4 inches. It's just impressive for a grand total of 182. And what was it, 1/8?
Yes, sir.
182 and 1/8. I'm going to tell you, man, that is a once-in-a-lifetime deer, I would think. But you never know, hunting around there where you guys are, you may slip up and kill another one like that.
Well, you know, I went and fed the day I baited up the four stands, and I actually got a picture of one just as impressive as that one. And so I don't know who's gonna kill him if he makes it or what, but he's a good one. I don't know what class he'll be in or how many points he's got, but just looking at his picture, he's going to be a good one.
Well, Mr. Lee, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you talking to me again. You know, that first one didn't take. I hope this one takes, because this is a lot of good information, man. It's a great story. You know, I think a lot of people have been in your shoes where a bullet, you know, didn't fire. It had a misfire. In fact, one of my buddies, he texted me today, said his son had that same thing happen to him on Sunday. And he said, "You ever heard of that?" And I seen him a picture of your deer. And I was like, "Yeah, actually I have."
Sure did.
Yeah. I said, the same day you and your boy did it. So, but I'm going to tell you, man, congratulations. You know, I love a good story. And this story is going to be one I think I'll remember for a long, long time.
Man, I appreciate it. I hope we get to talk again. And maybe one day we can meet.
Yeah, I tell you what, when you come up to Simmons in the spring, I hope to be there. If we don't have a dance competition, usually the dance competition is really close to Simmons buck contest. But if we don't have a dance competition, I will be there, and I'll be glad to shake your hand.
Yeah, I hope so. I sure appreciate it. I appreciate y'all taking interest in it, and I hope to see this maybe go a little bit further. I don't, you know...
Yeah, I know,
as far as getting them out and getting them out and everything.
Yeah, yeah, I'm interested to see the pictures on the finished product. I bet it's going to be a beauty. So,
yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Lee, will you have you a good evening? I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, I hope you liked that one. Man, that was a good story. I had to talk with Mr. Lee twice. My recorder messed up the first time we did it. All right, I had it to you earlier in the week, but... either way, we got it done. Thank you, Mr. Lee. I appreciate you taking time twice to talk to me. Good guy, man. I enjoy talking with Mr. Lee. He called me when he came back from Bastrop, and we talked a little bit, and he told me about the score from there, and we proud of it. And I'm going to tell you, man, that's a good guy. That's a guy right there you want to pull for. I hope he kills a pile more of them just like that. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast. And as always, guys, I'm going to encourage you to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.